greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to the sunny side of sports.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
The sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports.
The sunny side of sports show.
Great show, bro. This is sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Stand up. Stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
It's time to climb between the ropes once again with our reigning prince of pugilistics, Nnamdi Hollywood Moeta. Good evening, Nnamdi.
Good evening, Sonny.
Nnamdi, let's begin with the Ugandan lion, Sharif Bogere. He's back in the ring Friday night in Las Vegas, Nevada. He's going to take on a Colombian opponent, Luis Eduardo Flores. Taking a quick look at the records, Flores, 21 wins, 4 losses, 17 knockouts. Sharif Bogere, 28 victories, 1 defeat, 19 knockouts. How do you see Bogere Flores, Nnamdi?
Well, Sonny, on paper, it should be an easy fight. But remember what we talked about, tune-up fights and tune-out fights. So, homeboy from Kampala has to do his thing because I'm very happy for him now. He's busy, really. Floyd Mayweather is keeping him busy, and then it's a good chance of a title fight in 2017. But these tune-up fights can be dangerous fights, and Colombian fighters, they are not easy fighters. They are like Mexican fighters. They come to fight. So, homeboy from Kampala, be ready.
The homeboy from Kampala, do you still think he's one of the more charismatic fighters out there?
Oh, definitely. He has this fan friendly style that's good on television. He comes to fight and, you know, he will fight. It's not like he will run around the ring and hold on, you know. He's an action fighter and he's got quick hands and he has power, you know. This is what we're looking at when we look at fighters.
Nnamdi on Saturday night, September 17th, one of boxing's biggest stars, Saul Canelo Alvarez, back in the ring. He takes on a British opponent, Liam Smith, and that fight will take place at AT&T Stadium near Dallas, Texas. That's also the home stadium of the Dallas Cowboys professional football team. Canelo versus Smith, Nnamdi. How do you see this fight?
Well, the fight fans are not buying this fight, Sonny. And then to make matters worse, this fight is not on free television. This is pay-per-view, Sonny. I mean, come on, man. I mean, who is Liam Smith? Who knows this guy? He's got a phony belt. I mean, you can go to your nostrum and pick up that belt. It's a meaningless paper champion, for God's sake, you know. But you know why Canelo is fighting him at 154? Canelo is running like an armed robber from Triple G.
So he's scared of Triple G.
He's scared of Triple G. You better be scared of Triple G after what went down at O2 Arena in London last Saturday, man.
Let's talk about that, Nnamdi. Well, Triple G, he beats a British opponent, Kell Brook, who moved up 2 weight classes. Brook's corner threw in the towel. I think it was round 5. Why did they throw in the towel, Nnamdi?
They had to throw in the towel because Kell Brook decided to fight a macho fight. If you remember before this fight, I said he can make it a very easy fight. How do you make it a very easy fight? By touch and go, run, grab the guy, win a unanimous decision. But when he decided to stand and fight, he ended up with a broken orbital socket, Sonny. This, you know, when we talk about boxing, boxing is a dangerous game. You can be killed in the ring. People have died in the ring. For him to end up with such an injury, we're looking at things like detached retina in the future. We're looking at a guy whereby when his career is over, he can go blind. This happens in the game. So for him to fight a macho fight And the corner stopped him. That was the best call by the corner to stop the fight. The referee should have stopped the fight, not the man throwing the towel in the ring.
Namdi, there was talk that Triple G, Gennady Golovkin, was not 100% fit, that maybe he was a little sick when he entered the ring. Your thoughts?
Sonny, you know how I feel about this Triple G guy, Sonny. I've always said that this guy is overrated. He looked slow. He looked dull. Look at all the uppercuts from Kell Brook.
Very effective.
Sonny, if that was Canelo, Triple G would have been gone, Sonny. Come on, Sonny. Don't let us get carried away. He fought a welterweight, a blown-up welterweight, for God's sake. It's like when Canelo destroyed Amir Khan. We said, oh, Canelo is a big bomber right now. Let's ask ourselves this question. Did Triple G fight a middleweight in London? No. He fought a welterweight. They won 47 pounds and moved on to 160.
What about the age factor, Namdi? I mean, Triple G, I think he's mid-30s now, and Canelo much younger. I got to give Canelo the edge there, and just in terms of the age.
Well, Sonny, that's why Canelo and Oscar De La Hoya want to keep him waiting. Last fight now, Triple G looked really slow and dull, and his defense was not there. So when you hold him until fall of 2017, he will be slower. And at that point, it'll be easy picking, and Canelo can then knock him out.
Triple G used the expression street fight, that it turned into a street fight against Kell Brook. What do you think, Namdi?
It was a street fight because there was no head movement, Sonny. You see two people fighting in the motor park, there's no science to it. In Nigeria, we call that hit me, I hit you. In America, they call it a street fight. It's a brawl. There's no defense, man.
You don't think much of Triple G's defense.
There was no defense. You saw the fight, Sonny. Straightforward, one-dimensional style. I mean, Kell Brook, welterweight, was throwing in some uppercuts right here and there. What would have happened if Kell Brook was a solid middleweight, 160-pounder with a power punch?
Namdi, let's go to Reading, Pennsylvania now. Controversial fight. And I remember you telling our Voice of America boxing fans that Richard Comey would probably be fighting not just Robert Easter Jr., but also the judges ringside. And sure enough, a split decision in favor of Robert Easter Jr. He takes the vacant IBF World Lightweight title. Your thoughts on Comey and Easter, Namdi?
Son, if you remember, we called this fight before the fight itself. I knew we in the game, the boxing fraternity, not just the fight fans, going into this fight, we expected this to happen. Why? Because the promoter of Robert Easter, Al Haymon, won the fight bid to put this fight together. African fighters come to America, not just the fighter in front of them, they're fighting the judges, the crowd, and the referee. What happened was pure robbery. Come on, look at it, the scores after the fight. Two of the judges sided 115-112 for Easter, 114-113 for Easter. The third judge had it 114-113 for Comey. And again, go back and look at the fight, Sonny. In the eighth round, Comey had Easter down, and that was a 10-8 round. How can you, even in the last round, which Easter won, Comey closed that round, winning the fight, and he had all the best clean shots in this fight, Sonny. He was robbed.
In fact, Comey basically, kind of paraphrasing you, Namdi, he said after the fight that it's very difficult to beat an American when an American is fighting on home soil like Robert Easter Jr. Comey also asked for a rematch, Namdi. Do you think he'll get it?
No, there won't be no rematch because they know what will happen if there's a rematch. If this fight was held in, say, California or New York, or Las Vegas, where the judges will not be partial, be a different result. Sonny, this fight here reminds me of that great fight, the Madison Square Garden in 1982. The great Mexican warrior, Salvador Sanchez, and the professor, Azuma Nelson. Before the fight, Nobody has ever heard of Azuma Nelson. Azuma only had 13 fights. Guess what happened? Azuma took it to Salvador Sanchez. Even almost had him out in the first round. In the 15th round, Salvador Sanchez stopped Azuma Nelson. But what happened after the fight? Fight fans believed in Azuma Nelson. Look at where the professor is today. Just from that one fight, that's what's going to happen to Richard Comey. We all saw what happened Friday night. And he will come back.
So you see more title fights in Richard Comey's future?
Sonny, if that was another fighter in front of Comey Friday night, he would have been knocked out. Mm. If this fight was on the neutral ground, it would have been a different fight. Guess what? Right after that fight, because there was still a main event, the whole house emptied out. So that goes to tell you right there, the whole house, the fans, everybody was for Easter.
I'm Manny Pacquiao, the fighter from the Philippines.
Namdi Filipino boxing star Manny Pacquiao, he's planning to fight before the end of the year. VOA! Tell our VOA boxing fans about that.
The senator from Philippines is ready to come back into the ring again. But his main network is saying, no, we're not going to televise this fight. He's taking on Jesse Vargas, and this fight will be at the Thomas Arena. November 5 in Las Vegas. Mind you, Senator Manny Pacquiao is 37 and is now going for a world title.
Namdi, spare a few thoughts on the former world featherweight and super featherweight champion, Bobby Chacon of the United States. He died recently of dementia from a fall. He had been in hospice care. Bobby was a fan favorite, known for his brawling style. And you were ringside for one of his big fights, weren't you, Namdi?
Sonny, I will never forget that fight. It was in Stockton, California. Bobby Chacon against Cornelius Boza Edwards. And that was a battle, Sonny. Epic battle. Boza Edwards stopped Bobby Chacon in the 13th round. Sonny, that was when those guys were going for 15 rounds. And it was great fight. In the rematch in 1983, Bobby Chacon won unanimous decision, and it was named the Fight of the Year by Ring Magazine. Sonny, this guy here, Bobby Chacon, was a huge crowd puller in L.A., in Los Angeles. I mean, look at people he's fought. Bazooka Limon, Danny Lopez, Ray Boom Boom Mancini, Ruben Olivares. Fan-friendly style. This is what we call the true Mexican style. Non-stop action. When you pay to see him fight, you're not going to see. You know you'll see action. You're going to see a knockout. But, Sonny, when you go back and look at the toll this took on his health, at the end, he died poor. He died alone, died miserable.
Tragic life in many respects, Namdi. His first wife committed suicide. She begged him to stop boxing, but Chacon was quoted as saying, I got the fight game in my blood, and I can't give it up.
When the wife died, after he went on with that fight. He didn't cancel the fight. He went on with the fight. Quite a lot right here. And it just shows you we're dealing with a very dangerous game. And if you do it to excite the fans, if you do it to just show you're a macho man, at the end of it, you may die alone.
Thanks, Namdi. That's our reigning prince of pugilistics, Namdi Hollywood Moueta, reflecting on the tragic life of former boxing champion Bobby Chacon of the United States. Bobby died September 7th at the age of 64 after suffering a fall while in hospice care for dementia. Chacon was inducted into the International Boxing Hall of Fame in 2005. Namdi also mentioned The Ring magazine. Well, in 2003, The Ring included Bobby Chacon on its list of the 100 greatest punchers of all time.
The Voice of America. VOA.
This is the voice of America, Washington, D.C.
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
Keep on the sunny side, always on the sunny side. Keep
Hi, I'm Helen Maroulis, Olympic champion for Team USA, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
This Voice of America programming note, Olympic wrestling champion Helen Maroulis of the USA will be my special guest on Friday's Sunny Side of Sports. Last month in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil, the 24-year-old Maroulis made history when she won the first ever gold medal for the USA in women's wrestling. Helen will talk about that, as well as her career in the sport. So be sure to tune in. Olympic wrestling champion Helen Maroulis, my special guest on Friday's Sunny Side of Sports. Meanwhile, Olympic marathon silver medalist Faiza Lilesa is visiting our Voice of America headquarters here in Washington on this Thursday. Faiza made international headlines last month when he crossed the finish line in Rio and held his hands over his head, wrists crossed, to protest the Ethiopian government's treatment of the Oromo people. At a news conference in Washington earlier this week, Faiza had this to say.
I'm an athlete. I run long distance. Running has allowed me to travel long. Beyond that, it has also allowed for me to be the voice of my people. Let me say a few things about the situation in Ethiopia at the moment. At the moment, the Ethiopian government is killing, imprisoning, repressing its own people.
Olympic silver medalist Faiza Lilesa received a special temporary visa to travel here to the USA from Brazil. The Washington area has perhaps the largest Ethiopian community in the United States, estimated at about 300,000. And Washington also has a vibrant running scene with foot races virtually every weekend of the year and top-notch training facilities. But it's not likely Faiza will stay here in Washington. He has said he hopes to go to the southwestern United States, an area that's more mountainous and where he can train at altitude.
Listen to VOA's program lineup live anytime, day or night. Pick out your favorite shows and listen anytime you want. Download our podcasts. Check VOA mobile from your cell phone. Subscribe to VOA Newsfeed. VOAnews.com. VOA!
I encourage our VOA listeners to check out the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page. The address is facebook.com/VOAsunny. Once again, that address, facebook.com/VOAsunny. You'll see photos and videos, and you can post your comments. So check out the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page.
Voice of America!
During Wednesday's Sunny Side of Sports, I had my weekly Facebook Live video streaming. We call it Watch on Wednesdays, and it's a chance to take a peek inside Studio 22. Here at our Voice of America headquarters in Washington, D.C. Well, my videographer on Wednesday, Kwame Ofori, brought the camera around and he focused it on my computer screen where I had posted a photo of an Olympic champion. And I encouraged our Facebook Live viewers to try to identify that Olympic champion, to get a shot at some of those delightful and much coveted VOA goodies. Well, we had one winner, longtime Voice of America listener Tony Agbuntayan in Benin, Nigeria. Props to you, Tony. Tony correctly identified the photo as none other than Olympic champion wrestler Helen Maroulis of the USA. So watch your mailbox, Tony. Some of those gold medal winning VOA goodies are coming your way. I love it. Gold medal winning VOA goodies. You betcha. Spanish football club Real Madrid needed to rally, but they got the win as they began defense of their UEFA Champions League title. Cristiano Ronaldo and Alvaro Morata scored late goals as Real came from behind to beat Sporting Lisbon 2-1. Ronaldo equalized from an 89th-minute free kick against his former club, and Morata netted the winner deep in injury time for host Real Madrid. In other opening group round matches in the UEFA Champions League, Tottenham's Champions League relocation to Wembley Stadium got off to a bad start with a 2-1 loss to visiting Monaco of France. Defending English Premier League champion Leicester opened its first Champions League campaign with a 3-0 win in Belgium over Club Bruges. In other results, FC Porto was held to a 1-1 draw by 10-man Copenhagen. Bayer Leverkusen of Germany missed a host of chances and squandered a 2-goal lead in a 2-2 draw at home to the Russian club CSKA Moscow. Meanwhile, another German club, Borussia Dortmund, spoiled Legia Warsaw's long-awaited return to the Champions League with a 6-0 away rout of the Polish champions. More results. Lyon shut out Dynamo Zagreb 3-0. Juventus of Italy and Sevilla of Spain played to a goalless draw. I talked about Lionel Messi's hat-trick heroics for Barcelona during Wednesday's show. Well, Sergio Aguero bagged a hat-trick for Manchester City in a 4-0 victory over Borussia Mönchengladbach. The match was originally scheduled for Tuesday in Manchester, England, but after torrential rain in Manchester, it was rescheduled for Wednesday. Now let's go to Athens, Greece, where UEFA held its first executive committee meeting Thursday under new president Alexander Seferin. The 48-year-old Seferin is described as a little-known Slovenian lawyer. He was elected on Wednesday at a UEFA Congress in the Greek capital. Seferin replaces the Frenchman Michel Platini. Seferin says his first task will be tackling widespread dissatisfaction at controversial changes to the UEFA Champions League agreed between UEFA and the European Club Association. UEFA increased the number of places allocated to clubs from Spain, England, Germany, and Italy in the lucrative group stage and cut the slots for smaller countries. The move came amid threats that the big clubs could form a breakaway Super League. Among Seferin's non-football achievements, he crossed the Sahara Desert 4 times by car and once on a motorbike. In more football news, American star Clint Dempsey has returned to practice for the Seattle Sounders in Major League Soccer. Clint Dempsey had been sidelined with an irregular heartbeat, and as a result, USA coach Jurgen Klinsmann did not include him on his roster for recent 2018 World Cup qualifying matches. It's not known yet if Dempsey will play again this season in Major League Soccer. And that wraps up the September 15th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Cornelius Tenner. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
For a while, it looked like the 2.5-year-old civil war in South Sudan might finally be over. In August of last year, both Salva Kiir and Riek Machar signed a peace agreement to end the conflict, the terms of which confirmed Salva Kiir as president and returned Riek Machar to government as the first vice president. But just months after Riek Machar returned to South Sudan to resume his vice presidential duties, violence resumed and Machar fled. One of the most heinous aspects of South Sudan's civil war is the forced conscription of child soldiers, children younger than 18, with far too many under the age of 15. According to UNICEF, the United Nations Children's Agency, since South Sudan's civil war began in December 2013, over 16,000 children have been recruited into armed groups on both sides. UNICEF has reported on the recruitment of child soldiers since the July 7th outbreak of violence. Both sides are using various methods, including coercion and blackmail, to force parents to surrender their children to them. The United States is profoundly alarmed by the UNICEF report. Above and beyond our calls for an end to ongoing violence in South Sudan, we insist on an immediate halt to the unlawful recruitment and use of child soldiers by government and opposition forces. Individuals responsible for the unlawful recruitment or use of child soldiers for armed groups or forces may be subject to sanction under U.S. law and may be targeted for U.N. sanctions, said State Department spokesman John Kirby in a written statement. The continued unlawful recruitment and use of children in armed conflict in South Sudan is unacceptable. Eliminating the unlawful recruitment and use of child soldiers for armed groups in South Sudan is a leading priority of the United States. We remain committed to securing accountability for those who recruit and use children as soldiers.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Hello, I'm Douglas Impoga. Join me for Reporters Roundtable every Thursday at 17:30 UTC. We'll take an in-depth look at an African news topic important to you. We'll have African journalists and expert guests share their ideas on the topic at hand. So, please plan to be with us every Thursday at 17:30 UTC, right here on The Voice of America.
Hello, Africa. This is James Butte, host of Daybreak Africa, inviting you to join me every weekday morning at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC as we bring you the latest in African news, features, and sports. You can also be a part of Daybreak Africa through our listener mail segment by sending your comments and opinions to daybreakafrica at voanews.com. You can also call us and leave us a voicemail at 202-205-9942. That's 202-205-9942. And when you hear the Voice of America identification, press the number 25 to leave us your message. Start your day with Daybreak Africa every weekday morning at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC on the Voice of America.
Are you suffering from heartache? No problem. We've got the cure for you. The African beat can soothe your heartache with its awesome tunes from the African continent. So join me, David Vandy, Mondays through Fridays at 0900 and 2000 Universal Time for a healing journey. I guarantee it.
Democracy in action. That's what the U.S. presidential election is all about. Who's going to be the new president of the United States come November 8th? Tune in to VOA's coverage of the 2016 presidential election. Reports, expert analysis, and more. Professional, up-to-the-minute coverage that can't be found anywhere else. Right here on VOA.